First John, we're in First John again. I've really been studying and researching a lot on theology and what we believe, because a lot of First John is about understanding, going through again what those who we are speaking to believed. And this week, some of you saw I posted it on Facebook about a new movement that's happening around the country, and I have, you know, pastor friends everywhere going, you know, it has this form of godliness, but yet it errs, right? It errs. And a new movement that is happening is called the New Apostolic Reformation, and so I just been studying it, studying the ins and outs, and some of you clicked on it and said, that is scary stuff, right? Because in its form, it looks good. But if you go in farther into it and begin to understand really what is the belief system, it gets scary. Because this movement is now even coming to the place of writing their own Bible. It's called the Passion Theology. It's a paraphrase. It's like the Message, where someone takes the words and then moves them around, right? And so be careful, right? When I read the Message, I don't read it to study it. I read it because it just, you know, it's in today's. But if you want to study, you have to begin to learn and understand. If you want to know what you believe, then you have to take the time to go through the Word and understand what you believe, so you can come to that place, so that you don't be tricked into following a theology that is, in essence, looks okay but isn't okay. And I mean, man, I was having a great time following this through and going through this week, trying to understand what they're really what their doctrine was and believed, and what they believed, because it was hidden. In essence, you have to look for it, right? Because they've all accepted Jesus Christ, right? The basic theology is there, but it's the other stuff that you add into it. I'm not putting them on the same level as like Jehovah's Witnesses, but the first thing Jehovah's Witnesses did was what? Create their own Bible. And my job as a pastor, your pastor, is to make sure that you don't get caught up and believe in things that aren't true. I'm like the shepherd who watches over the sheep to make sure that what you're seeing and reading and being a part of is truly from the Word of God.
What is the name of it again?
It's called the New Apostolic Reformation. And we have a couple churches in the Tri-Cities who are following that. And so you have to be careful. It's this nature within me that wants to protect you guys.
Thank you.
Right? So if I pulled out, right? I'm not rich, so I probably won't have a $20 bill, but I have a dollar bill, right? What makes this real? I knew you'd say that. The mark, the seal, right? If you feel it, right? Does it feel right? When I was a youth pastor, I worked for Safeway part-time, right? Because we needed health insurance and extra money. And so one of the jobs I had, I did many jobs. One of the jobs I had was in the office, and I would count the money. So if you look at money long enough and you get the feel of what it is, and you begin to look for traces of what should be and should not be, you can find a fake right away. Right? There were times I'd be counting money and I would stop because it didn't feel right. I would set that one aside. And so then it would be up to the boss guy to come and feel it and make sure and look at it and see if it was fake or not. And then they would set that in, put that in a certain envelope and say, this is a part of the deposit, but we feel that it's fake. To understand God's word means that you have to know the real deal, and you have to begin in your heart to develop that theology that says, I believe in this. John is bringing forth what was from the past and into what is now. Did Jesus come just to come to be, just to be the guy who come and so that we could have eternal life and have forgiveness of sins and all that? Yes. But he also came to what? To fulfill the law. John is beginning to bring us to this place in the book of John, 1 John here, where he wants to see some things. Right? Because in Luke, if you want to go to Dr. Luke, chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, Jesus talks about, let's just all go there. And I'll try and behave today and keep us on a good time schedule. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. Here's Jesus, right? He's talking about a tree and its fruit. We talked a little bit about this last week, about how Jesus is talking about either being a blessing or love for enemies. He talked about judging others, and then he comes to this place. And he says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings forth good things out of the good stored in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth what? Speaks. What Jesus was saying is that we will understand the true nature of somebody's heart when they begin to speak, the actions they perform, the lives they live. And we can understand that, here's what happens a lot of times. People will look down at us because they're on this journey of faith and they've made a mistake. Well, we all make mistakes. We all sin. We can't take this, okay, because they do this, this, and this, that somehow they're bad people. That's not what John is saying. He's saying that the consistency of one's life will be shown, right? That an evil man will bring out the evil things inside of him, and the good man will bring forth the good things that are inside of him. Now, how many of you can be good in one instance and bad in the other? Sometimes it's seconds away, right? It doesn't take long. Somebody's talking to you and they say something that irritates you all to thunder, right? And what happens? Immediately it's like, boom. Yep. You've turned from the good person to the bad person. But you know, that's just our emotions sometimes, right? The good stuff will always flow out of you because it is based in what? It's based in your belief of God. It's based in God's word. It's based, right, in your belief system. John is, I love John because John is just real. John's a real guy. I love the book of James. I love the book of John because these guys are real. They tell it like it is, right? If you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. If we did a survey in our community, right, how many people do you think would say they're Christians? If we did a survey in our community, how many people do you think would say they're Christians? Why? Because is that based upon because we're supposed to be a Christian nation?
Yes.
Does that make them a believer?
No.
And John wants to see the difference in those who might make a claim and those who don't. And that's why he's beginning to bring us to this place in the second chapter of 1 John. And he wants us to have our theology clear. He wants us to understand that those who bear fruit must be a witness of that fruit and will bear good fruit, right? In John chapter 15, if you went to John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches, right? If you are connected to the vine, and who's the vine? Jesus is the vine. And if you're connected and you're in the flow of the vine, what's going to happen? You're going to grow, right? But if you're not connected to Jesus, what did Jesus say? You're going to wither up and die, and he's going to cut off the branches and da-da-da-da-da, right?
Turn you away.
That's why we need Jesus, and we need to be in the vine, and we need to be connected. And the Word of God is what connects us, right, to them in our relationship with God the Father, our relationship with God the Son, and our relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? God's Spirit inside of us, living inside of us, helping us along this life's journey to do those things that the Word of God tells us. Not working our way to heaven, right? We're never going to work our way to heaven. We can't. It's impossible. It's only through the act of what Jesus Christ did on the cross that'll get us to heaven. Are we to live righteous and holy lives? Yes, we are. That's why John speaks of the evidence, right? The fruit borne by believers. What I get out of this is that there's two things. There's two characteristics that must be present in the life of a Christian. And I want to consider these characteristics because we all need to have the characteristics of Christ, the characteristics of the Word of God inside of us, the character traits of a believer. Here's the first one, our acceptance of the Scripture. We must believe in the Word of God. I've sat with many, and now I'm talking in my peer group, right? I've sat with pastors who have said, this is a good book, but it's not the final authority. Now, that's hard to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't believe in your peer group, that doesn't believe that this is truly the Word of God. The stories are nice. Everything was nice. It's a good book to tell people about. I in Waterville, when we were in Waterville, that little town, you know, I know why God brought us there because you know, I believe in the Word of God. And out of the four churches that were there, every pastor at the time had a challenge with the authority of the Scripture. That was hard, right? Sit with Father John, right? And talk to him about the Bible. Or the Lutheran pastor, nice guy. Man, that guy, amazing guy. But to sit and have a conversation about the Scriptures and try and say, okay, you know, he loved to debate. And so we debate, right? And eventually I had to stop debating because it was getting nowhere. And then the other guy was probably the closest. He believed that most of the Bible was inspired. So can you be almost inspired? So I just spend time, you know, loving on these guys. There was only four of us in that community. And just to love on them guys and begin to just speak into their life. Yes. Most of them do. But in this area, our peer group of Assembly of God pastors believe in the Word of God as the inspired Word of God. So, yes. We have pastored in a lot of different areas, right? We were in Spokane for a little while. We moved to Linwood. We were in Duval. We went to McCleary. McCleary's halfway between Aberdeen and Westport. Then we moved to Westport. Then we moved to Waterville, which is above Wenatchee. So we had a broad range of our state. We lived in almost every part of the state except for Bellingham and Vancouver. Right? We've been in most places. And to come to that place to know that this community, right, this state, the reason why Amy and I were called to this state was because Oregon and Washington were the two least Christianized states in our country. And because we had a heart to reach people for Jesus Christ, we came to this place where we believe that this is where God wanted us to be, and we would go where he called us to go to reach those that he called us to reach.
Was it part of that because this area doesn't have snow 9 months out of the year?
A little bit. No. We just felt this burden, didn't we, honey? We felt this burden to be here, this burden to reach people for Jesus Christ. This burden, right, to be this witness, to tell them and let them know how much God loves them and how much we love them. Because in this scripture today, verses 7 through 11 in 1 John chapter 2, John is going to say this to us. There's two commandments that Jesus gave, right? To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. But the first thing he tells us is that we must come to this place where we accept the scripture and we accept the authority of the scripture. Because in verse 7, in the first part of verse 7, he says, "Brethren, I write a new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning." He is not writing anything new. What he is doing is just saying, here's what was, and this is what Jesus Christ came to do. He's not hoping to convey anything new. He's just here saying, this is what the scripture says and this is what Jesus did. He's not embracing or asking us to embrace these words because he had written them, but he's asking us to believe in them because they are scripture. And I don't know if you are struggling with the authority of Scripture. I don't think so. If I look in the room, do you all believe that this is inspired Word of God? Right? So what am I doing this morning? I'm reminding you. I'm reminding you of the fact that this is the Word of God and that we need it in our life. And that we need it in our heart and we need it in our spirit. And that we need to allow God to work, because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said this, "All of Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." What? The Word of God here leads us where? Leads us to righteousness. It leads us to living the life that God desires us to live in a holiness and righteousness. I get excited when God begins to speak and we begin to understand. You see, the Word of God is simple. It comes to confront us, convict us, and excite us, and build us up, and encourage us. As you see, the Bible does all kinds of things. In one moment, I'm encouraged, and the next moment, I'm convicted, right, of something I've done. Because God's speaking to me through the Word. I love I love these scripture things that come to me. Here, let me read. Can I read this to you?
Yeah.
I'm not offline. Okay, there we go. Because I was praying this morning as I was doing my devotions this morning before we got here. Every morning, Amy's in the back room. She's listening to Christian music. I can hear it blaring, right? I'm already beautified, right? Doesn't take me long to beautify. Little cologne, squirt, 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 brush the teeth, make sure my hair is flowing nicely. And so Jimmy Dean and I, we go and we sit in the living room, and I have my big cup of coffee. Jimmy Dean plops on my lap, and I got to cover him up because he has to be covered up, right? And so we sit there, and I begin to read, and I begin to pray, and I begin to ask, and this verse popped up in Philippians 2:5. And Paul wrote this. He says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." And I thought, whoa! Here we are this morning, coming to the place where we must have the same mind as Christ. That's what that's saying. You must have the same attitude, you must have the same mind as Christ. And John is trying to bring us to this place where we will come and we will have that same mind as Christ. Right? Coming to the place where we see that the word is true, it's inspired. It's from God, and that it's here so that we can be encouraged, that we can live this life of righteousness that God desires from us, and to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And I know that's not easy sometimes, right? Especially when you're young and you have like 3 or 10 kids, right? Or you have one or two. Or life isn't as pleasant as it should be. The devil is at your doorstep all the time trying to get you to not believe in God. When Zach was sick, do you know, every day the devil knocked on my door. And he said, you don't have to believe in God anymore. He's not gonna help. Your prayers aren't going to get answered. You don't have to believe in God. Come on. Isn't that you? Come, if you're honest, sometimes that happens, right? I'm not saying it happens every day. Coming to that place of saying, okay, God, I believe. And I understand that your word says what it does. And if Zach doesn't get well, then so be it. I'm not going to give up on you. But I'm not going to stop praying. And I'm not stop giving up. Because your word says to pray. And to pray. And to pray. We prayed for 30 years for my mom and dad before they got saved. Come on. Sometimes that answered prayer doesn't happen overnight. We want it to happen overnight. We want our prayers to go into the microwave of prayer, the microwave prayer line, right? And we want to go 30 seconds. Ding! Answered prayer. I prayed and God's just like that. We've seen an answer to prayer. And other times, like we prayed for family, we prayed for situations, we prayed, and all of a sudden we go like, man, there's God's answer to prayer with this. It's only took 20 years. But it happened. God did it. In his timing, in his will, not my will. And John is bringing this to this place. He's saying, listen, here's the application of Scripture in He says, the old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. He's telling us, he's saying, listen, here it is. Here's the old commandments. Here's the word from the beginning. I'm not telling you anything new. He's saying, what I'm telling you is to do what God says, to apply these truths to your life. He's reinforcing to us again knowing what God's words mean and to apply those things to our life. Because a mature, victorious Christian will embrace to seek and to apply the Word of God to their life. And then in verse 8, he says this. Here's the affirmation of Scripture. He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. John is saying, listen, Jesus is here. Affirm it. Understand it. The true light is Jesus, right? It's Jesus Christ. And then in the end of verse 8, he says this, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Again has the idea of on the other hand or from a different point of view. And we see that John is referring to Jesus Christ as the living Word, right? So if you go to Scripture, if you go to, somebody go to the book of John. What does the first verse say? Come on, get your Bibles out. Say it, Bob. Say it loud. Amen. That's awesome.
He came for a witness, bear witness of
that. Come on.
He's in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world did not know him.
Which?
To his own did not recognize him, but to as many as accepted him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the flesh, but were born of God, a word become flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
Amen.
And only begotten of the Father, full of grace and Christ.
Amen. Come on. We should be doing. In the beginning was the Word, right? That's what John said. And everything, because he is just, in the book of 1 John, what is he doing? He's reaffirming the book of John. That, verse 1, the Word of life, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hands, have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of life. Jesus is the Word of life. Jesus is the Word of life. And he's come. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. He's not discrediting the Old Testament, but what he's saying is Jesus has come to fulfill the Old Testament. See, the written word became the living Word in a body, in Jesus' body, in the flesh, didn't it? You may wonder what the significance of this verse is. God gave the law to humanity to reveal the holiness of God and the utter depravity of mankind. Right? Through the Old Testament writings, we discover that God demands absolute righteousness and that we are incapable of attaining that within ourselves. Had there been no gospel record, we would all remain in sin, condemned of God. Jesus Christ came to earth, lived a perfect life, offered himself for the atonement of sin, bore the judgment of God as he died on the cross and rose in victory. That was done for our benefit. The gospel of grace is extended to us. And Christ came to fulfill redemption's plan. Had there been no Jesus and no sacrifice, we would have no hope. Today we have hope. I'm excited because I have hope today. Do I get up and need my cup of coffee? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the back end of verse 8. John writes this, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Right? John reveals that Jesus secured our redemption. We are set free from sin. because of what Jesus Christ did. Not that we won't sin. We still have a sin nature. But when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees that. In Matthew chapter 22, right? Here it is again. I'm going to give you the scripture again. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." In that scripture, what are we challenged with the most?
Loving your grumpy neighbor,
right? I think loving others is the hardest thing. I think we're on an okay level of loving God for the most part, but we have a hard time loving our neighbor. I've shared this before, but when we moved into our house on Sunstone, the lady next to us, oh my goodness. She hated everybody and anything. She hated us. As soon as we walked in, she made it plain as day that no one ever talked to her, don't ever touch her fence. And I looked at how the fence was built around our property. And the people we bought the house from are the one who built the fence, because if she built the fence, then the fence would be faced the other way, right? And then one day, guess what? The fence broke. Guess who knocked on our door?
Grumpy old lady.
And I was like, okay, she's knocking on my door. And I looked at, we have this window on our side of our door. And, you know, our dogs, we keep the closet door closed so they can't see out the window. Otherwise, it's bark, 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 all the time, right? So I opened the door and I looked at her and I closed the door. And I looked at Amy and I went like, you can't even believe who's knocked on our door. I can't remember. I'm old. But I opened the door and she says, your fence is broken, right? And I said, oh. I didn't notice. So I went back there. Sure enough, the wind had broken some 2x4s because it had been windy. And so I went back there and I said, well, I can fix that really quick. We don't have to worry. Everything will be taken care of. And she goes, well, you'll really do that? And I said, yeah, isn't that what a good neighbor is for?
Right.
And after I fixed the fence, and the next time I saw her, she didn't growl at me, right? I don't know what happened to that lady. I don't know what happened in her life or what she had gone through. But I do know that we were set there to maybe bring the light of Jesus Christ, right? To love our neighbor as ourselves. Because in verses 9 through 11, John says this, if we are truly born again in Christ, we will love the brethren, right? He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. And this is hard because this is the place we allowed our justification to set into our belief system, where we allow justification in. And I struggle with this just as much as you. We justify that we somehow don't have to love people anymore. You know, for those of you who are conservative, right, the hardest thing to do is love those who are liberal. I'm just going to, because that's the big thing that's going on in our country right now, right? Some say it's good versus evil. It very well could be. But we can't develop a belief system where we hate them because, is that right? No. Should we be praying for them? Yes. Could some of those people come to know Jesus Christ if placed in the proper place with the proper people? Yes. What's the goal that God sent Jesus Christ to this earth for? Is for us to go into all the world, right? And preach the gospel. Right? And I know it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. I can pretty much know and understand and say I felt the same thing. But John is saying we cannot walk in the light of Christ, being born again in him, and hate our brother. Light and darkness cannot inhabit the same place, the same space. Love and hate cannot inhabit the same place. I love the book of James because he uses the same analogy about the tongue, right? Watching our tongue. He said that those who pray think that they can praise God and curse their brother at the same time, there's something wrong. If you want, you can read this yourself. James chapter 3, verse 9. Oof. Pastor, you're preaching too hard stuff. Preach me something nice today. Tell me how God's going to help me overcome. I am. I'm teaching you how to overcome. You can be an overcomer. Who wants to live? Last week we talked about living in victory. How do you live in victory? You understand who God is and you live for Jesus Christ with all your heart. Yes. Right? We're going to be grumpy some days and we're not going to smile some days. But that doesn't mean the basic theology of what we believe and who we are should change just because our emotions change. We must love him with all of our heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Because he says in verse 10, he that loves his brother abides in the light and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. What does that mean? Hey, Bob, what do you think that means? You need the Holy Spirit inside of you, right? Uh-huh. You need Jesus inside of you.
God is light.
Yeah, because God is light. He that loves his brother abides in the light. God is light. Christ is light. The Holy Spirit is light. They reside in us. And if we reside in the light, we're not going to stumble. You know, that when I bring out my Bible and I pound on it and say, you must read this every day, right? You really need to read it every day. And you need to, more than just read it, you need to apply it. You need to apply the principles of what God's Word says. And to say today, okay. I took my little verse for today, right? And I said, okay, I'm going to, oops, go back there. I said, Lord Jesus, this is one of my prayers today. I said, Lord Jesus, help me have the same mind that Jesus Christ had. Let me have that same mind. Let me have the mind of Christ today. Let me let people see that. Let me apply that to my life so that I know that I've done something to help somebody to do what Jesus, to live his will out in my life, to know that he's touched me. Right? we abide. Learning to abide. In 1 John 3, verse 14, John said this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, right? And this reveals the true measure of our faith, to love others. Because the love for the brethren is a distinctive characteristic of those who are born again in Christ. It's a distinct characteristic. Because in verse 11, John goes on to say this, but he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. You see, then he says, but he that hates his brother is in darkness, right? And walks in darkness. And in the end, he says, and knows not whither he goes because that darkness has blinded his eyes. See, what John is giving us, he's giving us despair, he's giving us the condition, and then he's giving us the confusion, right? He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and he doesn't know where he goes because he's been blinded. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. Here's the condition. So we continue to walk in that. And then he says, and this person knows not where he goes because here he is. He just keeps walking in this path. Over the years, Amy and I have ministered to a lot of different people. And I always come back to Big Jared, because Big Jared was a shining example. Big Jared came here. Big Jared had been on meth since he was 12 years old. And he'd always come in high. He was always high. Any of you guys remember Big Jared? Yep. Always high. High as a kite. And he'd come and he'd sit in the back and you could see him crying and he wanted to get delivered. But you pray for him and there was like this wall, right? And so he was probably here about 2 or 3 years. He'd come off and on and he would come and mostly during the week he'd come because he needed $20 worth of gas in his car. Or he'd need food. If I helped him, I never gave him money because I knew exactly where it was going to go, right? And I don't know if any of you guys remember, he was in jail for about a year, right? And when he came out, he was clean because he couldn't get it. I'm sure they could get it, but I don't know. For some reason, he came out clean. And here's where I'm getting. He'd walked in the darkness of that drug for so long that he couldn't get out of it. But here he was. The darkness has gone. The wall had come down, and he could see clearly. And I remember him telling me, saying, like, he goes, you know what? When you don't have any money and you want the drug, you can never get it. He said, but when you're clean and sober, everybody wants to give it to you for free. And I told him, I said, what are you going to do? Are you going to walk back into darkness or are you going to stay in the light? And for the first time in his life, because not only was he losing most of his teeth, he had a kidney issue where he was probably going to lose a kidney because of the meth. And he said, I have no choice but to stay in the light. And I said, you always had a choice. You just never could walk out of the darkness into the light to see the choice. You see, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are walking out of the darkness into the light. And we go, hallelujah. Some of you gave your heart to Jesus when you were kids. Others of you gave your heart to Jesus when you were adults or teenagers. But coming to that place, right? Coming to that place where we say, and we've told God, we're not going to walk in darkness anymore. We're going to walk in your light. And we are going to carry the characteristics, right, of Jesus Christ. We're going to carry the characteristics. Yes, we're going to struggle. You're not perfect. You are going to sin. But what my Bible tells me is just do your best. Right? If you're passionate about something, you're going to do with all your heart, right? Right? I love Bebby, because she has all these crafts, right? She gets passionate, right, about a craft, right? Isn't that how it works? Is your garage still full of rocks? Do you paint rocks anymore? Are you passionate about rocks? No. Okay. What are you passionate about now in crafts?
Breathing.
Listen, we can have crafts and we can have hobbies and we can have, and we'll, my dad, what he loved hobbies, right? For the longest time, he was into agates and polishing agates, and he had all these machines, and he'd make jewelry and all kinds of stuff. And down in our basement, he had boxes and boxes of all these jewelry he had made, and yet then all of a sudden he decided, he said, like, no, I don't like rocks anymore. And so then he went to leather. Then he went to remote control airplanes, right? The one thing you must be passionate about is your love for Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not something you can turn off and on. It's something you must be sold out for. You will never give up on. And that you will choose to walk in the light as Jesus walked in the light. And he was our example. It would be easy for me to make a rash judgment and say that because you walk in darkness, you're not saved. Baloney. We all at some point choose to sin, and what is sin? Sin is darkness, right? But 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? To cleanse us. All you have to do is say it. God, forgive me. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you, God, that we could go through your word. Thank you for the God, just us being able to share and understand and come to this place where we truly believe in your word. I know that God, here there are those here today here who live in this in our church who believe that your word is true. And I know that God, that as the word unfolds in their life, as they begin to read and they begin to understand, that your Holy Spirit will lead them and direct them to see what your word says and the truth in your word. I pray that, God, those who need help in this, that they will find older believers in our church, God, that will mentor them and help them and walk alongside of them. Father God, they won't give up, but instead they will embrace you even more, and they will embrace those who know your word, so that Father God, they can understand and then do the same with others. We love you, Jesus. Grateful for today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you say amen?